Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
What I'm trying to understand is why ACCA felt it could contractually obligate Centene as part of a legal claim with the state to direct $10 million from Centene to also go to Hope, Florida.
We're all wondering.
That is a fair question that I have not got a response to.
I think we've answered.
You haven't. Because I still have no idea why this was justified. I have very strong beliefs that this was not legal. And I have no idea, despite y'all's heavy involvement with Hope Florida over the past several years at DCF, what that money was going to be used for.
Yes. Correct. Alex Andrade, State Representative Andrade, sitting as the chairman of the Healthcare Budget Subcommittee and grilling the director of ACCA, Siobhan Harris, the secretary of ACCA, Siobhan Harris, about this $10 million payment from Centene, a major healthcare provider, to Hope Florida, this sort of nebulous agency that's supposed to help make people's lives better by getting them off of government assistance, in a settlement where they were overpaid money and they sent $57 million back to ACCA, Agency for Healthcare Administration. And then as part of that settlement, $10 million went around the whole process, didn't come back to the state, and went directly to this direct support organization. And then what happened to that money afterwards is very interesting, or at least what we think happened to that money afterwards is very problematic. But they just can't answer these basic questions. They, you know, he grilled them for like 3 hours, and it just kept getting worse. The more he asked, the less good the answers got.
Did you have...
This is, by the way, this is Deborah Tendrich, a Democrat on the committee.
Did you have any requirements to even show that Hope Florida was responsible enough to receive a $10 million out of that settlement? Were there any requirements, prerequisites to even know that that agency was even able to even fulfill $10 million worth of services or anything to make sure that they receive funds?
Again, the settlement agreement was had a lot of attorneys involved, taking great care to make sure that everything was done appropriately.
We don't know what the money was used for. You have to ask Hope Florida. Was it legal? We had a lot of attorneys involved. I mean, obviously, you know, well, we're reading these Florida statutes that say that when money is settled, it's supposed to come back to the state. Are you sure it's legal?
The settlement agreement was had a lot of attorneys involved.
Oh, my God. It was brutal. Like, I only listened to about half to two-thirds of it, and it's just, it's brutal. And as I said, there's sort of more to this story. You know, Paul Harvey, more to this story in just a minute. But let's kind of hear a little bit more on the drama here. This is, again, Siobhan Harris talking about this settlement in Centene.
Again, Centene had representation, legal counsel present, too. So they're a big organization, a big corporation that would not make a donation to or a contribution to an entity unless it felt comfortable doing so.
Trust the company? They have lawyers too. It's all good. Look, surely a giant healthcare company would never do anything even vaguely fudgy at the edge of the law. They've got lawyers too, obviously.
To be clear, Secretary, the violation of Florida statute is not Centene's violation, it's ACCA's. Are you saying Centene's responsible to advise ACCA of compliance with Florida statute?
First off, I think the violation of statute, I'm not sure where that's coming from. I'm not an attorney. I don't want to get into the legal nature of the settlement, but I know that a lot of lawyers weren't involved in ensuring that the settlement agreement was done appropriately.
That's how you know it's legal. We had a lot of lawyers involved. I mean, obviously, you know, a whole team of lawyers never do anything wrong, never get anything wrong, always completely. That's how it works too, right? You go to the judge and you say, well, we have 8 lawyers and they have 3 lawyers, so we're right. I mean, the the size of the legal team is really the key definer of legal compliance, right?
But I know that a lot of lawyers weren't involved.
John, you do accounting. Okay, you have yes. some businesses. That's how it works, right?
Yeah, right.
Whoever's got the most lawyers is right. Right?
No.
But I know that a lot of lawyers weren't involved.
Okay, this goes on. This continues to get worse.
And I think the fact that our health plans are in it beyond just the four corners of, you know, I'm providing behavioral health, home health, et cetera, and really want to support their families, live better lives, I think is laudable. And I'm not sure.
Careful now. This is going to get bad.
Why we're here, and I understand that there are questions being asked, and we're doing our best to be transparent to answer, but it does feel like we're not aligned in this overall goal of helping families. Yeah, I just it's kind of sad, right? Genuinely, this is the goal of helping individuals get back on their feet. I don't know what's wrong with that.
Did she just say she thinks it's unfortunate that it sounds like the representatives in the committee for healthcare budget aren't interested in the goal of helping families? Because that's what I heard. So you can't answer the questions. You've been found out. You're trying to obfuscate. You're saying we got plenty of lawyers. Everything's good. And your defense now is not, I'm sorry, we'll look into it. You're right, this does look super sketchy. Your answer is to gaslight the committee and tell them that their questions are evidence they don't want to help families in Florida? Oh, ma'am. You really should have asked somebody before you went this direction in the committee because... Well, you'll hear in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
She needed a team of lawyers with her.
She needed somebody with some, like, PR common sense.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, and that she did not have that at her disposal.
No. Traffic on the fives is brought to you by Anderson
Subaru. Did you say the fries?
Subaru. Did I?
Because
I'm thinking
fries.
About fries right now. You got me thinking about French fries for some odd reason. My brain just went there. Okay.
Oh, go on. Sorry.
There's an accident on 98 eastbound right there at the Gulf Breeze Hospital, blocking the eastbound lanes on 98. So just be aware of that. Also, 9 Mile westbound, right where the fire is in Millstone, we've got a accident there. First responders are on the scene trying to take care of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
I'll allow it. All right, so back to this, grilling, deconstruction, embarrassment, humiliation. Oh, they came out with a hostage video afterwards. Why did he attack us so much? This was so unexpected. We weren't here for this reason.
Wait, they did that?
Yeah. I didn't go grab the clips from the video. There's the whole panel of all the experts up there, and it does kind of look like a blink twice if you need help kind of. The mean old legislator asking us these questions. Okay, so Siobhan Harris, again, the Secretary of ACA, who I think used to run DCF. I think that's true. Anyway, so she's been involved in all of this stuff, various elements. Okay, Hope Florida interfaces with all of these agencies. Allegedly, I guess. Anyway, so she's basically just got done insulting the committee and saying, it's really unfortunate you keep asking us these questions because it sounds like you're not on board with the mission of helping Florida's families. Oh, man. But you know we're going to take your queen here, right? Like, why did you make that move?
Well,
one more follow-up.
Someone take umbrage at that claim. We're a separate governmental body tasked with oversight and direction to state agencies, and we discover that state agencies are redirecting money secretly at the 11th hour, you know, in a legal settlement without giving us any notice, and the accusation is that we don't care about helping Florida families.
Ouch.
I didn't say that.
I do.
You did, though.
The conflation of the goals of Hope Florida in helping families and making it sound like it's not a good thing is concerning.
You don't believe the Medicaid program and making it run efficiently and making sure that it's providing the services that Medicaid is obligated to provide to these people who've received an entitlement from the government? You don't believe that that's a noble cause that helps Florida families?
I think that ACA, of its own right and through its health plan, is exactly doing that.
You know, in chess, when it's hopeless, you have the option to knock your king over and just leave, right? I'm done. I guess I'm impressed that she stayed instead of just saying, I'm out. Gone. Like, she didn't just resign on the spot. But, man, it goes from bad to worse. And because the question of whether the program does good is not the issue. And she keeps trying to say that the program does good stuff. Well, I should hope so when it's getting millions and millions of dollars. But that's not the point. The point is how the money's supposed to work, what you got in exchange for the money, why you arranged this side payment, and then why, when questioned about this accounting, is it wrong to say accounting malpractice, John? I mean, or accounting weirdness.
Creative accounting.
Say. Okay.
That's what we call it.
Alex has said he thinks it's illegal. It looks to me as a layman like it is, okay? And when challenged on this sort of, despite your team of lawyers, problems, her answer is, must be you don't care much about kids. Oh. Oh, no.
Through its contracts and helping to ensure Medicaid recipients are getting the services that they need, this extra component of helping them beyond medical, I think, is laudable. And that's all I'm saying.
Absolutely. I think that the expanded benefits component of our managed care program is an incredible concept. What I'm somewhat in the dark on is why Hope Florida is receiving such preferential treatment in the listing and offering of expanded benefits, especially when Hope Florida has not provided us any actual tangible track record of success other than a hotline that redirects people back to the state agencies that provides the services.
By the way, I would not be surprised if we see resignations, investigations, possibly charges. This is this level of a thing, okay? And in case you're wondering sort of, you know, beyond just the weirdness where this goes, well, let me share with you from News Service of Florida to get, like, this got way worse after this whole hearing. Amid an escalating feud between Governor Ron DeSantis and the Republican-controlled House, the chamber's budget chairman on Friday sent letters to six state agencies seeking a broad array of documents as part of a probe into government spending. The inquiry into DeSantis administration spending, ordered by House Speaker Danny Perez, has raised questions about potentially missing state-owned vehicles, agency leaders earning six-figure salaries while living in other states, and millions of dollars of interest paid on a prison facility that has not been built. The most high-profile issue involves a $10 million donation the state's largest Medicaid managed care provider, that's Centene, made to the Hope Florida Foundation, a direct support organization, you hear DSO sometimes, tied to a signature program of Florida's First Lady, Casey DeSantis. The donation from Centene Managed Care Company was part of a $67 million settlement with the State Agency for Healthcare Administration, ACA, with $57 million going to the agency and $10 million to the foundation. Letters sent Friday by House Budget Chairman Lawrence McClure targeted the ACA, the Department of Education, Florida State Guard, Department of Management Services, Department of Corrections, the Division of Emergency Management. And if you sort of read elsewhere, you say, where did all of this money go? Well, the foundation sent the two $5 million payments. Okay, so $10 million went to Hope Florida. Right around the same time last October as $5 million payments were being sent to two dark money 501c4 organizations after they submitted grant proposals, coincidentally right around the same time as this $10 million settlement was being orchestrated. The proposals do not detail how the money would be spent, although they assure Hope Florida that it would not be spent on political purposes. Meanwhile, $8.5 million somehow or other winds up from these two organizations, sort of intermediaries, into political funds for Keep Florida Clean, the PAC controlled by then Chief of Staff James Upmeyer to Ron DeSantis, that was going to fight against Amendment 3, legalizing recreational marijuana. He is now the Attorney General. So you got $67 million is owed to the state. $57 goes to the state, $10 million goes to Hope Florida. Hope Florida, around this same time, sends $5 million here and $5 million there to two different intermediary organizations, both of which somehow or other put $8.5 million into the effort to fight legalized marijuana in the state under the auspices of then Chief of Staff James Upmeyer, now the Attorney General. Still look okay to you? Because it looks super sketchy to me. And the fact that it was money supposed to be in a Medicaid-related healthcare provider context that eventually got maybe, because exactly tying this dollar to that dollar is hard, maybe wound up being a political action committee that the governor and the Republican Party of Florida used to fight Amendment 3. John Pickens has traffic. John, you're an accountant? Did I miss anything?
Right?
Did I get it about right?
No, you got it about
When I say resignations, firings, charges are all on the table. I mean, Danny Perez has said subpoenas are in play. I mean, potentially, you know?
Like, very interesting.
Oh, my God. This is one of those, like, you saw after Wednesday, all the state newspapers were talking about. Politico nationally was talking about this. Like, all kinds of AP, like, this is a huge scandal right now until it gets resolved. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Let's see here. We've got an accident on 9 Mile Road near Pine Forest blocking the southbound lane. First responders are on the scene with that one. Also, if you're traveling on 98 eastbound, right, we've got an accident right in front of the Gulf Breeze Hospital is blocking the eastbound lane, so just be aware of that. Also, I-10, I-110 are starting to I-10 eastbound. I mean, between Pine Forest and Highway 29 starting to slow down. I expect about a 7 to 9 minute delay in that area. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Somebody asks, could this be a problem for Casey as 2026? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And if Matt Gaetz runs against what would imagine if he holds office, James Upmeyer for Attorney General. I mean, like, yeah, this is a big deal.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
Someone recently asked me, do you believe in guardian angels? And my answer is yes, but only for the Christian. In a rhetorical question, Hebrews 1:14 explains that angels are sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So Christian person, since you're saved, an angel has been sent forth to minister to you. And remember, Psalm 103 explains that angels excel in strength. Angels are colossal beings. They are greater in power and might than the strongest of men. However, as strong as angels are, Jesus is stronger. As wonderful as it is to think about the many ways that angels serve us, Jesus served us in a far greater way by giving his life a ransom for us. Angels are created beings, and they're wonderful, but Jesus is the eternal creator God. So rejoice in Jesus today.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Don't pay them my mind, Ricky.
Thanks, Cal. Shake and bake. You'll be my best friend forever.
This job is...
Good Good morning, 729 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. The Fred Levin Way Fest yesterday was huge. Oh, my gosh. So many people were there. It was packed out at Jackson Square. I mean, like, it was maybe tens, maybe 10,000 people. Huge. Absolutely huge. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning, gentlemen. I do have your headlines for you. A top advisor to President Trump says the administration's tariffs are working. On NBC's Meet the Press, Peter Navarro pushed back against concerns that the White House didn't have a plan for implementing the tariffs. He says they're working as designed, and dozens of countries, he says, are now in active negotiations with the U.S. Authorities have released the names of six people killed in a New York plane crash over the weekend. Those victims include former MIT soccer player and 2022 NCAA Woman of the Year, Karina Groff, her boyfriend, and several other family members.
Okay, let me preface this. Oh, sorry. I was going to say, I'll preface this by saying that
Yemen say suspected U.S. airstrikes killed at least six and wounded dozens more overnight.
U.S. military has carried out some 200 attacks against the Iranian backed.
All right, we're going to talk to the harbor pilot coming up in just a moment. I know David had his feedback from me off. That's why he couldn't hear me.
I'm CJ Papa. According to court documents out this morning, Cody Ballmer planned to beat Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro with a hammer if he found him. Officials say the Harrisburg man scaled an iron security fence and set fire to the governor's mansion over the weekend. He's now facing numerous charges. The 20% tariff related to fentanyl in place for things like smartphones, iPhones, and laptops, but more clarity on the horizon, according to the president.
Like we did with steel, like we did with automobiles, like we did with aluminum, which are now fully on, we'll be doing that with semiconductors, with chips, and numerous other things.
Some befuddled by the rollout.
Some confusion was spurred from the mixed messaging. The Commerce Secretary said on one of the Sunday shows the exemption was never meant to give the industry a free pass forever and that the new charges would be announced soon.
That's Fox's Jackie Heinrich reporting this morning at the White House. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 at News Radio, 92.3. It's 58 degrees, sunny this morning in Pensacola. The city has decided not to include a low-barrier homeless shelter in the updated plan for the Eastside Community Redevelopment Area. This is after local residents raised concerns at a meeting last week about gentrification. The Eastside Neighborhood Association voicing strong opposition. They feared the shelter could negatively impact the community, which is predominantly black. While the CRA board removed the shelter from that East Side plan, it remains in proposals for other areas. Mayor D.C. Reeves said any future discussions about that shelter would need to include community feedback into careful consideration of placement. The city is currently in the process of updating their CRA plans for all three CRA districts. That hasn't been done now in more than 15 years. Some new life-saving devices have been installed on Pensacola Beach. 40 new rescue tubes installed by the Gulf Breeze Rotary Club. The tube is a portable flotation device that anybody on shore can quickly throw to a swimmer that's struggling. There were already five on the beach, and now several more have recently been installed. Well, big turnout in downtown Pensacola Sunday for the Fred Levin Way Fest. That event aims to give back to those in need. There were many vendors giving out items such as diapers and toiletry items, toys for kids. There were games for kids to play and even free food being served by multiple food truck vendors. There were booths set up all over Palafox and Government Streets all around Jackson Square. Items were given out by at least 65 different nonprofit organizations. Another big event over the weekend, Cops, Cars, and Crawfish, one of the Escambia Sheriff's Foundation's biggest fundraisers of the year. The event was held Saturday at Five Flags Speedway. The event featured a car show with both vintage and new vehicles. Of course, lots of food as well. Crawfish was provided by Cubs. The event raises money for some of the key Sheriff's Office programs like the Blazer Academy, Dream Big, and their movie nights. Medical marijuana company Trulieve has now contributed nearly $20 million to a renewed effort to pass a constitutional amendment allowing the use of recreational marijuana in the state. The company contributed that money to the Smart and Safe Florida Political Action Committee in the first 3 months of this year. Trulieve contributed about $145 million last year towards the push for the marijuana amendment. That fell short of the required 60% support needed to pass. They're hoping for a revised amendment to make it back on the ballot in 2026. A deputy has been hurt in Polk County from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. The sheriff's office announcing there that the deputy had shot herself in the leg as she was being attacked by a dog. Deputies say she was looking for the owner of some runaway cows when she was attacked by a pit bull. She took out her gun and fired several rounds at the dog. She did hit the dog, but also her leg. Another deputy applied a tourniquet to the wound before she was taken to the hospital. Luckily, she avoided hitting a bone or an artery. That dog is reportedly in stable condition as well. The owner was cited following the incident. Well, a girl that was injured in Gaza is getting treatment in Florida. Palestinian 11-year-old Lana, she arrived in Fort Lauderdale yesterday. She's due to get a prosthetic leg. A group called Heal Palestine arranged her trip. A volunteer says they're here to let Lana and other kids know that the world is not forgotten about them. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got her traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. Still dealing with a couple of accidents that happened. The first one on 98 eastbound in front of the Gulf Breeze Hospital. It's blocking the eastbound lanes there. And also, if you're traveling on I-10 between Pine Forest and Highway 29, you're going to see maybe a 10 to 12 minute delay as you approach that construction zone and through the construction zone. Also, southbound on Avalon headed toward I-10, we've got about a 7 to 9 minute delay associated with that. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
It is going to be a beautiful sunny day today with temperatures near 78 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 62. Keeping that nice weather around for your Tuesday with a high near 80 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 65. Nice and mostly sunny on Wednesday with a high near 75 and a low near 66 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. It is 60 degrees in Pensacola, 58 in Gulf Breeze, and we've got 56 reported in Milton. Your next news at 8 o'clock. We have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The tech tariff pause is also a relief for consumers who desperately need an uplift in mood based on the findings of the University of Michigan's latest survey. Laptop prices have already shot up, according to comments on Reddit. The Nintendo Switch 2 pre-order has also been postponed. As President Trump's 25% tariffs on imported vehicles remain in effect, new analyses detail global implications for the automotive industry. Analysts are expecting to see a drop in vehicle sales in the millions and increased costs of more than $100 billion for the industry. Goldman Sachs assumes new vehicle net prices in the U.S. will rise by roughly $2,000 to $4,000 over the next 6 to 12 months. China's exports jumped more than 12% in March as businesses kept front-loading outbound shipments to avoid U.S. tariffs. Meanwhile, imports extended declines as domestic demand continued to weaken. Futures are sharply higher as tech stocks got a boost from the tech tariff pause. That's Your Money Now.
Bands on the Beach is back, so bring a lawn chair or a towel and get ready to enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music each and every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. This week, the Disco Kiss will be taking the stage, playing the best songs from the biggest bands of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair, but don't bring any pets or glass. Stop by the Cat Country Tent. It's Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Robert's Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Robert's Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Exciting and new.
Okay, so my grand hope is that Matt Milestrup, who is the harbor pilot in Pensacola, is laughing. And knowing him, I'm sure that he is. Matt, welcome back to the welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, sir. Matt, are you there? Oh no, did we lose him?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm
okay.
Here, Andrew.
Sorry about that, brother.
And I'm not that stupid, I'll have to tell you.
Well, I mean, you know, we'll allow it. Anyway, I should say this. If you ever see Matt around town, you'll know it's him because you'll think the actor Damian Lewis is visiting Pensacola. He looks like him, he's the right height, and he even talks like him. And I think you've been mistaken for Damian Lewis all around, from Band of Brothers and Life and Billions, and you've been mistaken for him all around the world, right?
I have heard that comparison before, and thank you for the compliment.
No, I mean, yeah, exactly right. All right, so the reason I wanted to do this, you and I have been working on trying to get John and me onto a ship to depart or arrive into the port of Pensacola for like 6 months, and we finally managed to make it work a couple of weeks ago. Fantastic experience on the Saudi-flagged Bahr Tabuk, a 50,000-ton cargo ro-ro vessel, a roll-on, roll-off. But let's start with kind of basics for people who may not know, because a lot of people don't know. I did not know. What is a harbor pilot?
Sure. A great question. A harbor pilot is, I am one of 93, I guess, maritime professionals around the state of Florida that ensure maritime commerce flows to and from ports safely and protect the waterways. And I'm certified by the state. I also have a federal license, and there's some, you know, different rules on which flag state you have of the vessel it is that you're maneuvering. But by and large, I drive the ships into the port and out of the port. The reason for that is I've taken pretty serious tests to draw a chart from memory. I know where the shoals are, the day's navigation. I know the typical traffic. I know the names of the tugs and everything else that help us moor the ship. So you're a local area expert, and this type of system is replicated across the globe. And that's all for nation states to protect their waterways.
So having a cargo vessel traveling on, you know, the Gulf or the Atlantic or the Pacific, the captain is in charge, and subordinate to him would be, you know, your first officer, your the person who's actually steering the ship. You know, there's a handful of crew that he operates under. But when they get close to a place like Pensacola, the key is they want somebody who really, really knows the local conditions, the channel, the markers, the speeds, the wind, the everything, so that you can safely get that very, very expensive vessel and its cargo into and out of the Pensacola safely, right? And that's your job. And that's the job of, as you say, 90-plus other people around the state of Florida and numerous others around the entire United States whose job is to be the guide or the temporary captain in and out of the port, right?
That is absolutely correct. Very well put. And that's reasonable if you think about it. I mean, these captains will visit, you know, 10, 20 ports around the globe. They can't possibly be experts in all of those. So you are, you kind of work with the captain. You become part of that team on the bridge of the ship to make everything, you know, function safely.
One of the parts of this people might not really think about much is that if you're going to captain, you know, guide, drive the ship in, let's say, from the pass, you know, to the port, or the other way, which is the way we went. Well, you're not on the ship all the way through all of its travels, and you're not going to stay on the ship when it leaves. So you've got to get out to the ship to drive it in, and you've got to get from the ship when it's leaving, which requires you traveling on the pilot boat. And the pilot boat is a little tiny, you know, what, 25-foot, something like that, boat that goes alongside. And the interface between the massive 50,000-ton cargo ship and the pilot boat is what I will very euphemistically describe as a rope ladder, where you climb down the steps or climb up the steps, depending on which way. And when we did it, it was in 5 to 6 foot waves with 15 to 20 knot winds underway at, what, 10 or 11 knots. And I will say that's the last most recent time I have felt that my life was maybe in jeopardy. You know, like, it was fun. It was exciting. I did not know what I was getting myself into. I do have a question. Who climbed it better, John Pickens or Andrew McKay?
Well, you both climbed down, so you did have some assistance from gravity. Thankfully, it didn't go too quickly.
We did the easy part.
Say, you know, Andrew, I'm going to have to tell you, John carefully studied every step that you took, and he very much duplicated exactly what you did. So you had you were the beneficiary going first.
I was the Lewis, and he was my follow Clark. So okay. Were you ever scared for us? Honestly, were you ever scared for us?
No, not really. Going down is a little bit easier than going up, but it was not as a hard climb. And you guys are both pretty fit. So anybody that's seen these guys around town knows that.
I'll take that lie. I'll take it. That's fine. All right.
People handling themselves. we do try to shelter you a little bit from all those seas by turning the ship. So you got a little bit of a lee, and anybody that's in the water knows, you know, how to do that. If you try and pick something up, you kind of block the wind with the other side of the vessel.
Newfound respect.
You guys handled it very skillfully. It was, I was pretty impressed.
And newfound respect, not just for like what you do getting on and off, but for the, you know, the guy who's actually driving the little boat. Cause that was I don't know how he does it. Anyway, we'll come back to this in just a second because I want to talk about the significance of shipping, all of the constellation of things that surround the possibility of making a place like the Port of Pensacola work as a shipping destination. We're talking with Matt Malstrup. He is the harbor pilot. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still dealing with that accident on 98 eastbound right there in front of the Gulf Breeze Hospital. I'm seeing that the eastbound lanes are still blocked at that area, so just be aware of that. Other than that, I-10 between Pine Forest and Highway 29, seeing about a 10 to 12 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Matt Malstrup. He is the harbor pilot for the Port of Pensacola. He's a retired U.S. Coast Guard captain, so he had his full term in, and he's only been out for a little while, about 4 or 5 years, 3 or 4 years. Matt, you were in training for a while. You basically shadowed with the former harbor pilot, and then you had to take a bunch of tests to prove that you were capable of handling this responsibility of shepherding these ships in and out of the Port of Pensacola. But I want to talk about the relationship between a part of the maritime world that we don't really talk much about, which is, you know, we always think about us as being a military town, right? We're a Navy town. We love the Marines, Air Force, you know, Coast Guard, Space Force, Army, all of it. But Merchant Marine is a huge part of global shipping and of naval operations. And in hearing the Congress and the experts talk about things like failing in shipbuilding, failing in merchant marine, failing in training, we seem to be falling behind. But can you maybe just talk for a second about the significance of the merchant marine and even the academy, if you want, to just shipping and transit and transportation and even naval operations?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And that's a very broad topic. This might take more time than you have with me today, so we can come back again. But, you know, there are a number of maritime academies around this country that train merchant mariners to go out and be the crew on U.S. flagged vessels. And we don't have very many of those vessels anymore, and we don't have very many of those mariners anymore. And that is becoming a national crisis. So you're reliant on foreign flag vessels to bring all your cargo. And whether people acknowledge or not, this is still very much a maritime trading nation. A lot of goods go out and into this country via sea because it's by far and away the most efficient way to to carry large voluminous cargoes in bulk or otherwise, you need these mariners. So that's in addition, of course, to the military service academies that most people are more familiar with, Naval Academy, and maybe in my case, the Coast Guard Academy and Merchant Marine Academy. That is one aspect of it. Around here, that impacts us because a number of people on the water, actually all the people on the water pretty much, have licenses that are basically adjudicated by the Coast Guard, but they're mariner's licenses. And they go anywhere from a six-pack license to 100 tons, 200 tons, to what I have is an unlimited license. And all the qualifications those vary, different number of tests you have to take and experiences required and everything else, but there's a large portion of the population in Pensacola that relies on the maritime environment.
Absolutely.
And the ports are a critical aspect of that.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things is thinking about how the crew on board this particular vessel, Saudi, Omani, Filipino, no Americans. And that's a problem across the, you know, non-military marine operations is, as you say, we don't have very many American flag vessels. Very few people think of going into the Merchant Marine. The support vehicles, the, you know, non-military vehicles that go into war fighting, the shipbuilding, kind of like that whole constellation of things we have, like so many other parts of our economy, we have entrusted to somebody else's production. And I think, you know, I'm really optimistic about President Trump, some of his EOs that he's put in that have to do with this. But I just think people, I will speak for me, never thought much about this until I started paying attention. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, my God. But here locally, there's also a really interesting kind of, you called it an ecosystem on board the ship. But all of the things that have to exist in order to make it possible to have any kind of shipping or large vessel transit, things like tugs and things like longshoremen, and, you know, can you maybe talk about some of the pieces of that puzzle? Because there are a lot of them.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity. Yeah, just real quickly, I mean, even this current administration, you know, this is a pretty strong bipartisan concern. I know that the recent Ships Act was introduced by Senator Kelly. So, yeah, there's a recognition in Congress on all parties that this is a major problem for our country. And back to locally, you know, the port is an economic driver. You know, GE, which is the beneficiary of the products that were brought in by the ship that you rode in and out of, that Bari Tabuk, they put together the wind nacelles that are shipped all over the country. And there's about 2,000 jobs associated with that project, between a couple different major companies and some other suppliers and everything else. The multiplier effect from a port is almost three jobs to every job at the port are directly created because there's a port in your area. And then you can talk indirect jobs and everything else. And sort of that's what you're alluding to is sort of the indirect jobs that are related to the port. For example, there are three home-ported Coast Guard ships here in Pensacola right now, and that's about a little over 200 people directly associated with those ships and their families that go to school here, they go shopping here, they live here year-round, and they are home-ported here, and they require the pass, Pensacola Pass, to be dredged by the Army Corps of Engineers. Sometimes they require the use of tugs or a pilot. They don't use longshoremen. They have their own, but the merchant ships will use longshoremen. So these jobs are all related to the fact you have a port. The dredging the pass, which for those who don't know, that means you have a big, basically, suction hose or a scoop that goes and takes all the silt, the built-up sediments and sand and mud and everything else that makes everything more shallow, and they take that and scoop it out and move it away so you have a deeper channel. And that's important for, obviously, cargo vessels, obviously military vessels, but also for the deep draft sailboats that have big keels, like American Magic. You know, if they're not on their fins, elevated out of the water, that sticks down in the water column 12, 14 feet, whatever that is. The big chartered fishing boats, everything else. So you know, that is all reliant on a port and cargo traffic. You have to have a certain cargo volume to justify the dredging. That's in limited supply also. So if we ever
didn't have the port operating as it does, would that have cascade impacts on what NAS Pensacola can do, whether the Army Corps feels it's worth dredging and potential loss of mission? I mean, are these connected entities?
They're very much interconnected. So the ecosystem piece of it, you know, you have a coral reef, you take away one aspect of the coral reef and the whole thing goes down and dies. Or is seriously degraded at best.
One of the other pieces, just sort of running out of time, I know you talked about how, like tugboats, you know, we have two tugboats in the area. You need both of them. We don't have four. You know, there's not a surplus. And if you don't have tugs, you literally can't do this job. And keeping those in inventory, maintaining the, like, the stevedores, the longshoremen, you know, like, there's so many pieces to this puzzle that makes it work. And I just think it was, again, fascinating to learn because we are a low-volume port. You know, it only has one harbor pilot, but that creates a challenge for maintaining this ecosystem that if you lose a piece of it, you could kind of lose the whole thing, so to speak. Matt, we're totally out of time. He is the harbor pilot for the Port of Pensacola, again, retired U.S. Coast Guard captain, and clearly stated that Andrew McKay climbed the ladder better than John Pickens on disembarkation, and was essential to John Pickens seeing how to do it properly. I heard you say that, right, Matt? You know what you said?
Andrew, absolutely, almost. And John, thanks for producing this show. You know, what can you do without you?
Hey, thank you for giving us the opportunity to experience what you do. Thank you for doing what you do. Thanks for teaching us and expanding the mission and informing our audience about this. And we'll definitely have you back. And, you know, we'll have the new port director on. And, you know, we'll talk to some other people, too, because I have a newfound interest in respect for the port operations because you reached out to me and said, hey, can we make this happen? And we did. Matt Malstrup, Harbor Pilot, thank you so much for the time, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
Absolutely. John Pickens, second best at climbing down a rope ladder,
you
has
know.
Traffic on the five.
Okay. All right. Here we go. He said, I did a good job, though. I didn't fall in. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
we're both somewhat fit, which I thought was.
Oh, I love that comment.
Apparently can't count on him to say anything right. if he's going to say that. No, he's very kind.
Yes. Let's see here. No accidents to report to you right now. But if you're traveling on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect a 7 to 9 minute delay associated with that. 98 is actually rolling smoothly. But if you're approaching, the Pensacola Beach Bridge on 98 going westbound, you can see maybe a 15 to 20 minute delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Hey, if you've got any kind of a project you're working on, you need hardware or you need advice, go to Pensacola Hardware, not just because, you know, they have the stuff. They do. The warehouse is right here in Pensacola. But if you work in construction, commercial construction, like you're a contractor, you build things for a living. If you're an engineer, the architect says you've got a specified product that they need. Pensacola Hardware does that all the time. And when you go there, you'll find that they speak your language, okay? They speak the language that I do not speak, the language of the contractor, the language of building things, the language of the codes and the inspections and solving these problems. You won't need a translator when you deal with them. They will understand you. Ask for a Jimmy or Martin or Mansfield, and they'll tell you what they can do for you if you've never been there. Because, I mean, it's an amazing place. And that's putting aside, you know, if you're just an ordinary person like me or if you're wanting to buy a gift for somebody because of amazing housewares in the whole front of the store. Check out Pensacola Hardware, the oldest business in the entire state of Florida, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider, right now offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel Wednesday at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show, talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I just hear that name and I shudder.
Mufasa.
Ooh. Do it again.
Mufasa.
Ooh. Mufasa.
Ooh.
Mufasa. Mufasa.
Ooh, it tingles me.
All right, 7:59 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Video of our excursion aboard the Saudi-flagged shipping container is on our Facebook page if you want to watch it for yourself. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Good morning. A man's charged with attempted murder and arson after a fire at the governor's mansion in Pennsylvania yesterday. The Pennsylvania State Police say firefighters responded to the residence of Governor Shapiro early that morning. The family was home, but they were able to escape unharmed.
Well, that's the good news. I'm certainly glad that that is the case. You know, a lot of speculation about motive here. Obviously, he had been considered for the vice presidential slot with Kamala Harris. So, but again, glad that everybody's okay.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.